Please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We aren't going to quite read this yet. We will get to it in a minute. But just to have it there for referencing. Our subject is, title is, But Not. And I know that sounds like an odd title or thought, but we'll get there in just a moment. The English language is, in its purity, difficult at best, with its multiple meanings for the same word, grammatical rules, punctuation, spelling for the same sounding word, meanings and exceptions to the rules, as there always seem to be. And it was one of my worst subjects, personally, in school, all of my school. We generally understand how to form a sentence so that we can convey our message to each other and that it will be understood. But if you've ever written something and had it looked at by an English teacher, you understand the frustration that's felt when you get it back and the whole thing is just marked up with corrections. I've had this happen even in my adult life. So my opening statements for this exhortation are by no means indicative of my understanding of this grammatical subject. I find when certain verses are referenced in classes and exhortations, I will just make a quick note of them for a possible future exhortation if I find something interesting that that may hit me just in a certain way. So this morning's subject is one of them. The two verses that we will look at in detail this morning struck me in a very interesting way. So what is our understanding of but not? Grammar-wise, understand how I quote this from other sources. It says, but not is a coordinator with a negative. Now, there's probably only a couple people here that even understand that. And used to exclude something after stating a generalization, using words such as all, every, everybody, etc. A coordinator, and I had to look these up because I have no idea. A coordinator is a term that relates two elements or structures. In this case, shows an exception or contrast. Example, Johnny usually eats all of his vegetables, but not his peas. You can eat all the ice cream that you want, but not insert favorite flavor here. So, but not, that this term is used about 39 times in the scripture. And some of the more commonly known are these. Notice that all of these verses have qualifiers. Genesis 20:12. And yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. We all know that circumstance. Romans 10:2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. 2 Chronicles 25:2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not according to knowledge. But not with a perfect heart. I was on the wrong one. Zephaniah 1:13. Therefore their goods shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. In Mark 10:27, we read, And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. So when you look at this, we see that this relates two different particular thoughts, two different structures in this sentence. And taken up until that point, we could have a perfectly fine sentence. That they have a zeal of God. Perfect. That they were right, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. They shall build houses. They shall build plant vineyards. With men, it's impossible. But there's a qualifier here. There is a statement after all of these sentences that change everything. And that is, but not. So, as it is with this last verse, it will lead us into our thought for the day. And the last verse is, with men is it impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. 1 Corinthians 15:19, we read this. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. In our Wednesday evening class, dealing with this section of death and how death and life are viewed as just basically laws of nature that they embrace, Brother Robert says this, and we may remember this section. It might seem to follow if we had nothing but the constitution of nature to consider, if we had no attested revelation, we might be shut up to such a dispiriting thought, that is, to be born, to grow, decay, and die. Though even then we could not be impressed, not but be impressed with the thought that man, the Lord of creation, occupies a peculiar, if inexplicable, position among all the forms of life upon the earth. But in the presence of an attested revelation, we are bound to adjust revealed truth to natural fact. But not. Let's go to our reading here in 2 Corinthians 4, and we're going to start at verse 6. We're going to read through verse 10. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. For we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. But not. In verse 6 here, we start at the beginning dealing with the creation of the earth. The light shining out of darkness. The light being divided from the darkness is a powerful type used throughout scriptures. From the pillar of light guiding Israel on their journey to the last chapter of Revelation, in which we read in chapter 21, verses 23 to 24, and in chapter 22, it says, and the city hath no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light thereof, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. Revelation 22:5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. This light that we see, and we're told in John 1:1-4, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, And the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light of the gospel. The light was commanded to shine out of the dark world. The spoken word of deity resides in us, brethren. In verse 7, we have this said in back in Corinthians 4. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In pathetic earthen vessels, we have this light. We who are intimately related to death, so that the abundance of his power, the exceeding riches of his power beyond measure, are for God's glory and not ours. This is what the following two verses reference. Verses 8 and 9. We are troubled on every side, yet not. And this phrase, yet not, is actually the same word, but not. We are troubled on every side, but not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. In these verses, we have eight states of being. On the one hand, we have troubled, perplexed, persecuted, and cast down. And on the other hand, we have the but nots, distress, despair, forsaken, destroyed. Before we get into these, let's look at a moment at the words between these two states. Why did these two words strike me when I read them? Why are these two words so important? And why are they repeated multiple times? I feel that these words are emphatic in their definitions. Let's look at Strong's. But is the word Allah. Some other uses are nevertheless, howbeit, therefore, and indeed. To me, this talks about a definitive division of a statement. We are troubled on every side, but not distressed. It sets aside the first concept with the thought, troubled. However, in contradiction, yet not distressed. Not is the word ou, in which he says is an absolute negative. Other than no, we see it used as cannot, neither, none, never, and without. We are this way or that way. We have mixed times and parts of our lives. But this is saying something to us, brethren. This is saying we should not get to this second state. Yes, we can be troubled. We can be persecuted. We can be cast down. We can be perplexed. But why should we go to that second state? But not to me speaks of hope. It speaks of change. It speaks of an alternative to the things that we are facing, the bad things. We are not like those who are believers in the laws of nature, who have no hope and no help from deity, who only have birth and aging and death to look forward to. Yes, we have those as well, but that's not all we have. We have the but not. The but not offers us hope, and that's what the truth offers us, is hope. Why are all these repeated? Well, as many things are in Scripture, it shows the level of importance. It teaches a lesson that we need to learn, for we know that we're taught repetition is the key to learning, and it is so with Scripture and God's Word. So what great lesson does God want us to learn from these few verses? One commentator views that these verses, as Paul is telling them, are making allusions to wrestling in a race. Some of the words used are used in that particular scene, which Paul has done before. We know beating the air and the, you know, the verses referencing to the race and so forth. All of these are very interesting and something we can relate to. So let's look at these words kind of one by one, and we'll see what kind of lesson, if there is any, for us. The first one we come about, we are troubled on every side. This word trouble means to crowd or afflict. It's like the commentator says, it's like being gripped in wrestling. 2 Corinthians 1:6. We read, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. 2 Corinthians 7:5. We read, for when we were come unto Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fighting, and within were fears. So affliction, troubling, we're going to have these. We do have these. It's like being gripped in wrestling. But is that the end? Do we go down? Do we get pinned to the mat? This word distressed, that is the opposite. Yet not distressed, but not distressed, is to hem in closely, to cramp, but with no escape. So we see here that we will all have challenges that press on us from the outside, but that we should never feel that there is never a way of escape. We are told this, Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? We will have challenges. We will be troubled, afflicted, crowded. But we also have a way of escape. We have the hope that is set before us. that as our brother Roberts and his work accounts that the other men of the world do not have. They have their laws. Next, we are perplexed, but not in despair. This is somewhat similar to the above, and Strong's mentions this as a negative particle, to have no way out, to be at a loss, to have doubt, not knowing or what to do or which way to turn. And even when it seems to be dire, when we seem to be up against the wall and have no options, we are told to but not despair, which the word means to be utterly at a loss, to absolutely have no way out, despairing even of life itself. Let's turn 2 Corinthians 1. Verses 6 to 10. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. In our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as we are partakers of the sufferings, so shall we also be of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we spared even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Perplexed, but not in total despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Persecuted means to flee or be pursued or to follow after, to be pressed. Turn to Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. But rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. First, Colossians 4:12, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 to 12. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Jesus Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Persecution, but not forsaken. The word forsaken is pretty self-explanatory. To leave behind, to desert, to forsake, to just leave. Hebrews 13, 5. We are told, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Acts chapter 2, 25 to 27. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Hope. A way out. That is what we are blessed with. And the fourth, we are cast down but not destroyed. This word cast down means to throw down or lay. Once again, considering the wording as to the wrestler, we may be down but not out. There is a way out. We are not thrown down and defeated. Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Revelation 12:10. And I heard a loud voice from saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. It is not us that should be cast down, for we have a way out. But not destroyed. This word is to destroy fully, to lose or perish. John 10:10 tells us this, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, not willing that any should be cut down or cast down or persecuted or forsaken, but that all should come to repentance. In 2 Thessalonians 2:10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Brother Benjamin Tuthill years ago gave me a book by W.F. Barling, which is the book of Corinthians. And in it, he offers a quote from J.B. Phillips on these verses, which provides an interesting slant. He says this, we are handicapped on all sides, but we are never frustrated. We are puzzled, but never in despair. We are persecuted, but we never stand it alone. And we may be knocked down, but we are never knocked out. What is this reason for these changes of state? How can we be told emphatically that trials and tribulations will only go so far? Well, we've already read it in our readings, 1 Corinthians 10:13. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Some of us are tempted, some of us are tried, some of us are tested more than others. But regarding whether it's a small matter or a huge, difficult problem, there is a way of escape. There is a but not. There is hope. There is a way out. We just have to avail ourselves of it. The words of Joshua are ones we are very familiar with. Deuteronomy 31, 6 through 8. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for Yahweh thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which Yahweh has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And Yahweh, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Let's turn back to our chapter in Corinthians. And we'll read from verse 10 to the end of the chapter. And consider as we read these verses, of the aspect of the way out, the but not. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that our the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction it is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We read here that we must manifest the truth, the light within us. That while death is working on this body of sin, we look to God's truth in our lives that we may be saved out of death. When we are troubled and afflicted, not knowing which way to turn, when we are pressed out of measure and cast down, know that we have a way of escape, that we do not despair unto death, that we are not forsaken and will not perish. But as we stated in the beginning of this exhortation, the but not has qualifiers. We must manifest Yahweh and Christ in our lives through covenant making and continued obedience. Then will we be under the exception of this phrase. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, we want to repeat, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. These trials and tribulations and aches and pains that we have are temporal. They are for a time. But the things which are not seen, the things that we have hope in, the resurrection, possible admission into the kingdom of God to serve Him eternally, these things are eternal. Let us, in our thoughts, go there.